Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, November 9th, and we're back with you as Rachel is... Did you finish your food, Rachel?
I'm going to save it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
in between.
But do you have enough energy for a show?
I do. I got like 16 hours of sleep because after I left here, I went and shot with Olivia. And okay, so truth be told, I'm not a big dabber. You know, I like my flower. I consume cannabis the traditional way. And they were shooting a bunch of videos with dabbing, and this guy who's like a big dabber on social media or whatever. I hate that I'm even saying this. I'm so millennial. Okay, so I show up and she's like, just a few videos. And like, anytime I shoot with Olivia, like, it usually involves me consuming like a burrito and then like having to sleep for 16 hours. So I had a show that I had to go to last night, but after shooting with her, there's no fucking way I could have done stand up. Like,
really?
There's no.
So why you were dabbing?
We were shooting content with this guy called Pot Porn.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Pot Porn and I, we just shot like several videos, and I was just like, I have to sit this one out. I'm just going to go home. And I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night.
Oh wow.
I don't even know myself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So you got that high? Is that what happened?
It was just like, yeah, it was like I've reached levels of elevation that I've never.
That you've never been before.
Never.
That's awesome. I envy you, actually.
This is why I'm not a big dabber, but it was cool. I mean, I was well rested.
Now I understand why dabbers say they can't go to just smoking regular.
I'm telling you, just dabbing is like, no one needs to be that high during the day.
Right.
but also, to me, it's the amount of tools and science. It's like you need a degree,
it is, right?
Or a license to operate. A blowtorch.
They carry a fucking briefcase.
The blowtorch. First off, when he turned it on, I jumped. I was like, I'm such a nerd. Anyway, so I was like, I can't do this.
I guess we should explain to those who don't know what the hell dabbing
is. Okay, so they've figured out a way to extract THC and CBD and a bunch of, you know, whatever it is they're extracting. Dabbing is basically when they extract the chemical component of the flower, so the THC or the CBD, into this waxy-like substance. It comes in other different types of substances, but it's more of a really intense high because it's more concentrated and it's just like pure THC. You're not smoking plant matter. You're smoking this chemical component, this natural chemical, obviously. But it's, people like it because they just, you know, people just stop getting high from
regular
flower
stuff.
Edibles or whatever.
But that's too much for me. I mean, don't you feel like, when you look at it, don't you feel like they look like a drug addict?
You should have seen my
post. I mean, all the paraphernalia and shit. I mean
that's the thing. That's what I don't like about it because, like I said, I just like the old-fashioned way, you know. I like that joint, just the joint. And then, you should see the checkout bins in my Postmates that I've never. I have so many different types of meals in there that I've never, like, I just never committed to ordering it. But I failed. I just was like, no, and then I'll go into another one. That's what I do when I get stoned. I live an exciting life.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Folks, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest. That's who you're hearing in the background. They're probably thinking we fell into a friggin' cannabis show. That's okay.
After this, I have my weekly cannabis radio show that I co-host.
Exactly. So you'll get to let it all out in the next hour.
And those who listen to us know that we are cannabis consumers.
Right. And when you ask Rachel, that's where she's
been.
Or a
pothead.
If she hangs
out. Whatever. However you guys...
How she hangs out. So what do you call it? Not a pothead.
I'm just a
big fan.
No, I'm a medical patient. It is purely purely medical for me. Do I abuse it beyond that? Definitely. But like, I'm definitely a medical patient.
Oh wow. So in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by awesome guests here, and I can't wait to discuss with them. This is sort of a follow-on interview
from last
week.
I feel that, like, I'm the ugly one in the room, like, in this room.
What?
I mean, they're both really beautiful.
And you?
I'm just the designated ugly fat friend in this.
Oh, room. Really?
Yeah. I'm
okay.
The boy. In this room. Step out. I'm all right.
You need a boost of some self-esteem this morning.
No, I'm all right.
Rachel, you know you're beautiful. Come on, you know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We rarely have guests that make me feel nervous when I'm sitting next to them.
Really? Well, we have very beautiful stars here.
Although I love I keep bringing him up because I love Dr. Chris. Metz, he's my favorite.
Yes,
I love him in a different way because he's just so brilliant. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. And we get all kinds, you know. And I'll bet you they're beautiful and brilliant, you know, because in L.A., if you want to make it, you got to really be out there.
Yeah, but I didn't want to hit on Dr. Chris.
No, I know.
I'm sure he's married. His wife, she's probably wouldn't appreciate that. So,
by the way, Rachel doesn't hit on anybody. Don't believe a word she says. She's happy where she is. So I wanted to bring up just a thing. You know, we were talking about how everything goes online, right? And about Amazon and all this shit, right?
Yes, but before that, did you see the post that I tagged you in on Facebook yesterday about the self-driving car in Las Vegas that crashed into another car?
Oh, really?
I tagged you in it.
But no, I didn't
I wanted
see
to
that.
Bring that up before we...
Okay, go
I
wanted ahead.
To talk, but I didn't read the article. I sent it to you to read it. I wasn't going to read it. It was just, I think it's funny that we were talking about putting our faith in self-driving cars and
I know, and then it crashes on the first drive, yeah. I know, they're saying it was a bus or something,
yeah, I was like,
right?
Yeah.
Wow, did you actually see it?
I saw the picture.
Yeah.
Idiots. Who thought that was a good idea? They're like, we're going to let the computer decide, you know?
I know, and maybe it was a little premature. I mean, you would have thought by now, they would have tested the hell out of it, right?
No. Yeah.
No, right? Let's put it right.
We're letting humans decide
streets.
These things.
Yeah. You know? They're like testing it for 3 years, and then they go, let's put it on the street and see what happens. And bam, the first time, you know?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Mm. Yeah, I don't know. You get sometimes smart people maybe are too smart for their own good, you know? I don't know. But I started talking to you about, I wanted to bring up the Amazon thing. Because we were talking about it, and, you know, I love books and everything.
Yep.
I probably own half of a quarter of Amazon based on the money I spent on there, you know. But you know, I like to help the local stores because they're disappearing, you know. So I go to Barnes & Noble sometimes and all that stuff. And it always pick up something. But, you know, it's like you expect it to pay twice as much as you would on Amazon. So the question is, why? Right? So I'm saying, you know what? I'm willing to pay a little more just to contribute to keeping the show
at
the store
in
business. Right. And that's why I want to keep them in business. So I figure I'll pay a little more just so they'll stay around. Right. Okay. So I did that. Then they sent me a coupon in the mail for another like 15%, which is a lot. Right? So I pull it out with my phone and it doesn't go through, and she asked the guy, he's like, oh no, it's not on bestsellers. I'm like, really? You know, I mean, what the hell?
Here, take 15% off our shittiest books.
Right, you know, so it's already discounted or something, but true enough, if you look at the fine print, it's like exceptions, and they have like a list of like from here to eternity.
They're like excluding parenting books, top sellers.
So you bringing
books,
me to the store.
Self-help.
But what I'm saying is, Rachel, they're bringing me to the store and they're cheating me.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's not a way to keep a
customer.
They're
like, but we have a lot of these fine picture books here.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're just saying take the bestseller at the discount we already give.
Yeah.
Like 30-40% or something, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I'm coming there because you're telling me you're going to give me a discount and make it worthwhile for me to come in.
Yep.
Rather than just click on Amazon, you know? So that's why the retailing
maybe
is disappearing.
Maybe if they treated their customers like they should, they wouldn't be closing.
Probably, yeah. But bottom line is, I don't buy there much. But at any rate, but that's why I said, and that's why it's so pathetic that all the stores are closing, because we're really losing that retail experience, like you said, you know? All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guests right now. And I don't know if they're bored or not. They seem entertained, so it's okay, you know. What the hell, man? So we're going to be joined by two film stars from a film called Afterburn, Aftershock. We're joined by Caitlin Leahy and Tyler Johnson. Welcome to the show, guys. And get close to the mic so we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming. So, Rachel, you feel obviously you're in a room with very handsome, beautiful people. Do you want to describe them, or it doesn't matter?
I don't want to objectify them.
Exactly. There you go. If you guys want to see them, you can go on the website. Just Google Afterburn.
I would prefer if people just objectified them themselves. I've already done that enough. Exactly. But yeah, follow them on their social media.
Exactly. And as you'll see, I mean, obviously, look. The thing is this, and you'll have to agree with me, you don't have to agree with me, but movies, for the most part, especially like romances, things like this, they try to make it as though it's very glamorous, right? Mm-hmm. So they bring glamorous-looking people.
Yeah. It's a fantasy. Not most people in the world don't look like them. You know what I mean? I think that's what it is. You got to take.
Their egos are growing so much.
But it's true. That's people are going to pay that money so they can step outside their worlds. Right. You know, which is most of the time probably mediocre.
Exactly. So they bring people that are more beautiful than life, and they're the ones that we like to watch.
Yeah.
Hair and makeup helps,
for sure.
And I do like that the first question was a false binary. So agree with me on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There's no option.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's. I mean, certainly with regards to the romance genre, there's a fantastical element just regardless that's implicit to the story form.
Right. What do you think, Caitlin?
Yeah, I mean, especially in romance books, because most of the readers are they care a lot about the male character. It's the man that they sort of fantasize about, and they really care that we match the description in the books.
Oh, I see. So that's right, because most of the readers are women, so they look for the man to be like what they're attracted to.
Exactly.
Right, what they look at. So is the male usually the main character in those books, in those stories, or?
No.
No, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Afterburn, Aftershock is first person Gia Rossi, so it is technically my character, but you know the reader is essentially sort of becomes her when they're reading.
Okay.
So
I
think they care more about the appearance of in this case Jackson.
Awesome.
Well, and it's one of the cool things about the genre that there's an inversion of the traditional male optic. That's something that I know that Tosca Musk and Passion Flicks are really big about.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, films are told from the male optic, even when done with a female director. It's just something that we've been conditioned to over the years.
That's true. That's really true. And plus, Hollywood is full of males that have those male fantasies, right? And they're different from female fantasies.
That's correct.
Right?
I mean, how you film sex scenes, it's all very different. I mean, we've had discussions about this, about how a man films a sex scene versus how a woman would film a sex scene.
Right.
And, yeah, I guess that speaks to my lack of inquiry that I never even considered that. But it is very different. It's very true.
That's so funny. Funny to even think about.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually what makes Afterburn Aftershock special, and that the team consists of all females because they're making films for women.
That's what I really like. I really like. I love them as guests. They were so cool to interview. Is most of production female too?
Yes.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And this is a follow up on an interview from last week, and that's why we're talking about Passion Flicks. Some people may not have listened to that show. Passion Flicks is sort of a Netflix, but with romances, right? Romance
Correct.
Films and
exactly.
stuff. And they have their own, you guys produce, or they produce, or together you produce these romance films based on novels.
I just remember growing up, because when they were here as guests, I was telling them, like, my mom had a whole library of those books that, like, when you opened it, it, like, seemed naughty. You know, it was what was that guy? Fabio. And then it was, like, some beautiful woman. Like, he was, like, saving her on a giant horse, you know, in heaven. and I just was, like, I didn't understand. There was so many of these books. And now, like, I get it. It's like a cult. Following, you know, with
they're
women.
Addictive.
You know, they love, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is awesome for our female audience. You'll probably want to check it out. You can go to Passion Flicks let me see, is it passionflicks.com? Yeah. With an X at the end. And you can follow us. The movie is Afterburn, Aftershock. And this is based on a book of books by Sylvia Day, which I've heard of her. I mean, she's pretty big, right? In the romance genre.
Yeah, she has a very loyal fan base.
Yeah.
Since I filmed the movie, I've had a lot of friends come forward afterward and say, oh my gosh, I'm Sylvia Day's biggest fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a largely untapped market. I mean, it's $1 billion mm-hmm. a year market mm-hmm. That's largely been unexplored. I mean, off the top of our heads, when we put our heads together on this, we really can only point to 50 Shades.
I was going to say, 50 Shades of Grey, that's literally, you finish the sentence, I feel like that not only brought out the popularity of this genre, but like also the younger audiences coming up, you know, the new generation will be into this, you know, medium of romance novels on digital. That's a lot of words together, but yeah.
Well, and to refer back to that female optic perspective, I mean, it provides a different opportunity for models of masculinity, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
Because these films do take a different
yeah. How do they portray them? How do they portray the male in it? In like obviously a pause, like the relationships between the male and the female is from the female perspective,
right?
Right.
So I mean, and so Jackson Rutledge is a fantastical character. So you know, so the challenge as an actor is to try and find where that heart is. But what I really liked about Jackson was that his conflict really had to do with ambition, namely his ambition in the material world versus the ambition of his heart.
Right.
And because of romance genres and the story being what it is, he ultimately lets the ambition of his heart win out. And that's something that, you know, in a society that we all know, without being hackneyed and going through the politics, you know, we are very material obsessed. So it's nice yeah. to have these kind of like feel good endings where he doesn't go with the $1 billion penthouse. Instead, he goes with the love of his life. So
mm-hmm. yeah, there you go.
Which is rather refreshing for a male, I would say.
Yeah,
right?
Well.
Yeah,
that's true. Because go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say most TV shows and any film that centers around a man, it is almost always about how powerful they are, how wealthy
right.
they are, and they're sort of macho.
That was my. You answered my question. That's really cool how they portray the male characters differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's okay for men to lead with the heart as mm-hmm. well.
But that's like, true, and you sort of had to connect to that kind of thing, right? I mean, were you always like into like romance and things like this? As far as have you been like your character, like where the romance, the relationship matters, like where you spend a lot of time?
When I was 14, sure, yeah. I was. Yeah, I mean, I remember my first girlfriend. I left a rose on her car in the parking lot. But time in life has a way of hardening you up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I think I spent in a time period of repressing the romantic and passionate side of myself. Maybe not the passionate so much, but definitely the romance. And, you know, in working with this movie, working with Caitlin and working with Passion Flicks, it really did teach me how to relate to my masculinity in a different way.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So, and for you, like, I guess for the audience and stuff, that's an attractive thing about a man, right, Caitlin?
Absolutely. And our director, Tosca, taught him a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, taught really? Him a lot. And it was really a big learning experience for both of us because it was almost a role reversal.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just in general, in most films and television, it's a male lead.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of, I mean, you know, all, oh, we yeah. have a lot of sex scenes, a lot of intimate scenes, and everything was flip-flopped. You know, she had to, we tweaked the way everything was shot to suit our audience, the way
right.
that, mm. just that he would stroke my face or something.
Right.
Everything is done in
that
a different
took a lot
way.
Of training.
Right?
I had no idea. Someone needed to tell me over the years, but like even how I would hold the side of Gia's arm,
right.
like realizing that I was using, like I could put too much force with my fingers so that it would leave, you know, you never, just,
oh God.
All these things where we had, Tosca will get this, you'll get this, Caitlin, but it's fragile porcelain. That's how you're supposed to touch a woman's face.
Oh, really? Wow.
Like fragile. I hope I'm not. I hope this is not some big secret that I'm letting out.
That's okay, man. It's your job to let us know.
I don't think it's a secret. No, these are just like tips. Oh my God.
Mm. It's like porcelain. But there you go. I mean, but women would want us to know that, right, as men.
I think that since shooting, well, I can't. I'm not going to say that out loud. Okay. I think since shooting, there's been some appreciation from
Yeah, you've learned a lot from it.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you for rescuing me from that.
You learned a lot. I went
down an alley. I didn't want to go down.
He helps his love life.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well, that was what I was saying. You obviously learned so much from working with women that you probably wouldn't normally know, because it's not like your partner. I think these are things that partners even have hard time telling people when you're in relationships.
That's
and
true.
How cool you get to learn these things from your work, you know, that you can take back home.
Yeah. Yeah. So imagine you have like a wingman or something telling you all the things to do.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
That people want to do.
We had a joke on set that it was Tosca's school for gentlemen callers.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. It's like a charm school for men, you know?
Because she could just touch the small of my back that I would know to put my shoulders back. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, there's a variety. Or she could call out fragile porcelain, and we knew exactly what that was. I knew exactly what that had to mean.
Wow. So imagine what a dream job this is for him, right? Now, you told me you moved from New York, and we'll talk a little about that and stuff, right? But here he falls into this, like, dream role, right, where your life is totally transformed by this, I'm sure, because you become, like, this ideal male now, right? Well, I mean, you know, you know all the right things to say and do at this point.
I feel like all of the luster is falling apart right now. Really? All my secrets are gone. No, but
okay.
I think it's impossible to be a fantastical man. I'm just trying to be a better man in reality, and I do think that these kind of lessons that we learned in this forum and in that space do translate. You know, and I don't think that it's necessarily about manipulation, but it is about supporting a space where you can create that safety, create that that support and that reinforcement that, in this case, when we're talking about male-female romantic relationships, that you're looking for in many cases.
Yeah, yeah. Caitlin, so you ended up with also a dream role, obviously. How did you find out about this? Was this like a traditional audition, or did you know people? How did it work for you?
I didn't know anyone. No connections.
No connections.
No, I was actually out of town when I got the audition through my management, and I just put it on tape in my hotel room. It's kind of hectic. It's never easy to self-tape anything. But I gravitated towards the material right away. I'm from, Gia Rossi is a New York Italian.
Okay, so Gia Rossi is the character that you play.
Is the character I play, and I grew up in an entirely Italian community in Chicago, so I knew her right away. It was very easy for me, and I had a lot of fun reading the script and working on the material, and so I put it on tape, and then we had, one or two auditions after that. We did a chemistry read together, and
that worked.
It was all very, fast.
Yeah. And how did you arrive at the role?
Through a similar fashion, actually.
Really?
Evidently, they were soliciting auditions both in the room but also on tape. And so Caitlin and myself were two that submitted on tape initially. And then we were brought into the room and kind of went through the process.
And they get to play matchmakers, you know, like the filmmakers themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, let's see who we can put together to represent.
In some form, there has to be chemistry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, you know, I can't help but think that this is really like affecting you guys' life here, because I mean, you get very intimate in the film, right? How long did it take the film to, the filming portion of it, how long did that take, Caitlin?
Almost 4 weeks, not quite 4 weeks.
Four weeks.
We shot here in Los Angeles.
Right. So you guys actually have to spend a lot of time together and all that stuff. You get to know each other. Did you both feel like confident about this? This is what you wanted to do going into the film?
Yeah. Well, we bonded right away because we shot our intimate scenes, almost all the intimate scenes on day one.
Oh, wow.
Which was a little nerve-wracking.
Hello, get right to it.
Exactly.
Off.
Well, you're actors. You're supposed to do that. They're like, you're not here, to vacation. You're here to work.
Actually, I think it went really well considering that we didn't know each other at all, and we had to do that day one. It was very technical.
Right.
You know, it's very choreographed. It's a closed set, so there was only a few people in the room with us when we filmed all those scenes. And
So we're not just talking about kisses. You mentioned sex scenes and stuff. Really? Yeah. I mean, I guess you would expect that in a romance.
Are sex scenes real?
Well,
well, no,
I don't know much.
They're
about sexy.
Not much.
It's
of
not
Shia
real. Definitely not real.
Rachel is freaking out.
I don't
out,
know.
Dude.
I was like, I don't know how. I only know when I think of. I know sex scenes, and then there's porn. I don't know where the
right.
line is.
We are in the valley, though, right?
Yeah. So.
But I mean, look, guys. I mean, you get pretty close to that. You know, they may not show body parts and stuff, but you guys actually have to get in a very intimate situation. Were you comfortable with that right away coming in?
You know, I think that, you know, we're both professionals, and I think that ultimately, if you, the thing about crossing those kinds of lines is you ruin the ability to be able to come in each day anew.
Right.
So it was very important for us to maintain professionalism, you know, and we did that, and you disengage, and it is, and it's much more technical than you would imagine.
Right, I can imagine. Yeah,
I mean, imagine having a lot of people critiquing and you while you're right. doing something that's supposed to be very natural for you, and maybe you had some confidence in it, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, can you stop smacking your lips in that particular way?
Oh, or, wow.
You know, so yeah, right. way, you know? And you be, I didn't know I did that.
And then all of a sudden everything just clicks. You're like, oh, that's why.
That's why. Yep.
So essentially you're being choreographed to do anything there. It's, again, you know.
To choreograph your most intimate moments that you thought you were like a legend on in your personal life. Like, right. You thought you were going to bring your A game.
That's what I thought.
But that's the thing. Yeah. I guess you disconnect when you're when you're an actor. You know, you're able to separate between that. Between this is, you know, this is my job, is to do it in the right way, the way they're asking me to do it, and I'm not, you know, and that's it, you know. So, but and I think maybe that's why they had you do it all the first time, you know, or something, because you. I don't know. Do you think there was a reason for that? Why it was all on the first day?
Well, they did move the shooting dates for me, and because we were shooting all the penthouse scenes the very first weekend of filming, okay. it just so happened that all of those scenes take place in the penthouse.
Okay. Sounds good.
Some of it was a coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, huh? Well, guys, you must by now really want to watch this movie. I know I do. And go to passionflix.com. That's Flix with an X. And they, like we talked a lot about them last week, they have, you know, just a slew of great movies that they have there. And so they're starting to really churn them out now, right? The
yeah.
movies. Like they said, what, it took like how long? About 2 months to make a film or something? About the one, yeah, the one, like the one you made, how long did it take to make from beginning to end?
Well, our filming was a little under 4 weeks right. for us, but there's so much pre-production.
Right,
months
exactly.
and months and months.
And post. I think we,
post.
So maybe
all
6 months or something, I think it took.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember what the heck, but anyway, so you guys really worked intensely on this for 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and so what did you think when you finally saw the film? Did you feel good about your work? Did you feel... Because sometimes people, right, they watch their own stuff. They say, oh, I'm too critical about myself. I can't watch myself.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin?
Yeah, it's very hard as an actor to watch yourself on screen because the first time you watch it, you're just looking at yourself and thinking, that's what I look like. That's what I sound like. And it's hard to really get into the film.
Right.
Second time, it's a little bit easier. I try to watch anything that I'm in because even though we focus on ourselves, there's so many people that put, you know, a lot of work into
right.
it. And you want to appreciate the other actors, all the crew, the director, and it's not just about you.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yes, I did watch it. I forced myself. It's still hard.
Really?
But,
so
yeah,
it's hard, actually,
yourself.
To do.
Yeah.
I know, because I was thinking, though, but you do want to see the finished product, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you work hard on it and stuff. You want to see what, you know, how it comes out. That's your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, wow. That's very interesting. And you know what? Did you notice that you always look different in the mirror than you do in pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the mirror, it doesn't really flip our image, but it kind of reverses it. So you never really see what your face looks like in real life, even in the mirror. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
I got scared
your
the other day.
Your right becomes left, your left becomes right.
I got up and I looked in the mirror and I saw my mom.
Really?
And I was like, holy shit. Holy fuck. It was like looking into the future.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. And yeah, so that's my story.
Wow. So God, I mean, this looks great, you know, and it's
sweet
definitely not
your mom, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
It's she's not my
pretty mom. Cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll tell her you said that.
Hopefully she's listening.
Like the guy from one of those books you would have read said that you're pretty.
I actually shot, that was one of the, so when I first moved to New York, and I was Abercrombie and Fitch guy.
I can totally see that. Were you one of those guys? Were you in the pictures?
Yeah, I did the bags and the walls.
Like
and stuff.
When you're up, when you're up checking out, I'd be like 15 checking out, and there'd be this like half naked man, God, if you will, and my dad would be like standing right next to me. Like, where am I? Yeah, why did I have all daughters?
It was a trip. That whole experience was a trip. But during that time period, I did shoot the cover of a romance novel.
Oh my gosh,
which was cheesy in all of its one. I think it was if I could remember the title, it would be so good. But so I remember I was in a baseball uniform, and she was tearing it off of me somehow. I have no idea what that implies to the plot line.
That's hilarious.
But now I kind of want to read it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I had a friend that would take... Okay, because they would print the Abercrombie models on the shopping bags, too.
Yeah.
So my friend, she decorated her whole wall of these with shopping bags of, like, naked Abercrombie
so
models.
So my mom actually has a lot of the marketing from that time period, and she has it in her basement. And so when my brother was in transition, and before he went to law school, he was living there for 6 months, and it was the bane of his existence that he had to walk through this little hallway just full of half-naked pictures of his older brother. I couldn't imagine anything
like
worse.
Like bringing girls back?
But I loved it. Yeah, he had a girlfriend that was living with him there at the time, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So you've taken a cool path in your career. So you moved to New York. Where from?
I moved from D.C. I was born in D.C.
You were born in D.C. You grew up there?
I grew up in Maryland, D.C. and Virginia. My parents were split up, so it was kind of where everybody was at the time.
I lived in D.C. for a year.
Were your parents political or anything? Just by living there?
they're political now. My mom's very political, and they're very far left. Cool. This is 2017, so yeah.
It is 2017.
I like your mom.
Yeah, I'm not speaking about my father. But no, I moved. So I had gone to Penn State for a year, and then I had received admission as a transfer student to NYU, and that was always a dream of mine. And I had really wanted to tie it back into the literature community. I'd always really wanted to work for Kurt Vonnegut, who is one of my favorite authors growing up. I read his whole canon. And so I moved to New York, went to NYU, started working for an author, and I had finally, I was as a research assistant, and I was finally getting very close to Kurt. You know, I had a little bit of a correspondence with Mark Vonnegut, and then unfortunately he passed.
Oh,
but
wow.
that was my impetus. And then at the same time, you know, New York City is just rife with, hey, do you want to take pictures of yourself half naked? And if you are 18 years old and you're trying to pay rent, you know?
Yeah, well, you know,
this is not a trauma story, though, by the way. It was all right.
Yeah, there you go. You know
I was
mean?
Waiting for, like, the next, you know, like, whose name is he going to drop LA Talk Radio on Perez Hilton tomorrow?
There actually could be some, but we're not doing it.
Yeah, no. This station has had enough controversy.
Caitlin, how about you? Where did you arrive from? Because you said you were from out of town, too?
Well, I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
But, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. My whole family's there. And then I moved to Los Angeles about 5 years ago. I don't want to age myself.
That's okay.
I moved after theater school.
She's 21.
Oh, so you went to theater school.
I went to theater school.
Where, in Chicago?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. So, you know, early on, that's what you wanted to do, is act.
Yeah, I was born acting.
Really?
I came out of the womb acting. No, I'm in the middle of five kids, so... I guess you're always...
Wow, you know, that's a lot of kids, huh?
Yeah.
Does that mean the crying was fake? If you were born acting?
The typical middle child syndrome, though.
Sense memory.
Yeah. So this is cool now. I would imagine there's probably, like, going to be sequels to this?
I don't know.
No? You have to ask them.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Maybe well, we make it happen.
Yeah, right? Well, that's the thing. If it succeeds in everything, then it's going to happen, you know. But as it is, this is a full feature film, 1 hour and 40 minutes, I see. And so tell us a little bit about the story. What is the story about? What's the film about, really?
Well, I play Gia Rossi, and he plays Jackson Rutledge. How to make this concise? It starts off. Gia is from an Italian American family in New York City, and sort of a middle class, hardworking family, devoted girl. And Jackson is from a very wealthy, powerful political family. So they have very different worlds, and they had a brief romance. And he breaks her heart. And
can
then
we curse on here?
Of course.
He was being a little bit of a fuck boy.
Really? Okay.
Yes. What a surprise.
Right.
So he kind of breaks her heart. Yeah. And he leaves her. And they don't have any relationship for about, what is it, a year to 2 years? Uh-huh. She moves back
Did
to New York City.
Did she cut him off?
No, he
broke
leaves.
Her, and then you just said fuck that guy.
I think we call it ghosting. Kind of. I'm gonna be like the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, no, really,
you
just say the term, and we know exactly what happened. So, fuckboy ghosting.
Fuckboy ghosting behavior. And here
then,
we are.
Yeah. So my family is not a fan of his because they know how much he broke my heart.
And they're a good Italian family. They would want better for you.
And
you know,
I have three brothers, and so they're very protective of me.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, and the cast that plays the brothers is really great. Very, very funny.
They're all hilarious.
Hilarious. Right. And then just as I'm coming into my own as a woman and as a professional, he abruptly comes back into my life through a business deal. And, of course, the sparks are flying again, but he also complicates things for me professionally. Ah. And so it's basically a matter of choosing him or my career and trying to juggle both, which is not easy to do.
No.
I feel like Rachel has Jackson pegged right now. She's like, I think I dated him.
I was going to say, what, political? She said politically strong. I'm like, this is describing my entire life.
Yeah, right?
Except I'm the one from that family. And then.
Yeah, well, maybe it was you. Who knows, you know?
They should reverse it. The girl comes from the political strong family. She ghosts him. Fuck boys him and no.
I'm with that. I will say though, you definitely have all. Gia has all the power though. I mean, all the pleading is happening from Jackson.
Yeah,
she's a strong gal.
Please, baby. I have learned from my fuckboy ways.
Yeah. Let me back to your heart. Wow.
You've heard that before too, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like all the other guys. Yeah. I've changed.
I know. I'm like the best one is, you'll never find anyone else like me. I'm like, that's the point. I don't ever want anyone else like you. Ever.
That's a good one.
Well, so, okay, but so you can't give away the story or anything. I just want to know if this like continues and going to be like a big deal. But you know, I mean, there's it says that isn't like a series or something. I mean, am I getting this wrong?
So it's not,
the books, at least.
I don't think you're getting anything wrong. I think the thing is that with Sylvia, and I hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn for Sylvia, but she has characters that she will write various storylines about. So the notion of Gia Rossi and Jackson Rutledge is they're not dead.
Right.
The way
okay,
to put
that's
it.
Right.
Nobody
right.
died
that's
at the
what
end.
We want to
I
know.
Can say I can say that I think nobody dies at the
right.
end.
Right. That's essentially what I was going to say. If you can open up, you know, like a sequel to it, you're good. You know.
No, I
but
think
anyway.
Passion. When they were here, I was like, Passion Flix is going to be huge because
right.
It's crazy that it's still so young the platform, but because of the popularity of 50 Shades and that was like insane, and then just knowing, like you said, there's that market out there, that like niche market just waiting to be captured in a different medium. I mean, they had books before and now you can actually see them come to life, and they were on cassettes. Like they would have these on cassettes growing up, so that's really cool. They're putting they're bringing it to life.
And secretly I just want to know that you guys will have like a steady job with them.
Oh, that's fine.
I mean, why not? You're nice people. You know, you should have a series of your own. So, I mean, but this also sounds kind of like a soap opera, right? I mean, a lot of focus on the women's perspective of things. So have, what about the little bit about your background as far as was this a new genre for you? You'd acted before, right?
Yes. I had done a movie that was somewhat similar to this one called On the Horizon. And I'm very proud of that film, although I guess the little bit of juiciness is there were some lines that were blurred, which made it very interesting to work with and work on. Mm-hmm. But for me, the notion of stepping into what was a true lead, because I've been doing villainous roles for the past year.
Okay.
And that was like playing the anti-hero was a whole new thing, and I had a lot of fun with that. So this kind of fantasy was actually very daunting. The notion of being this fantasy for so many women and men.
It's a lot of pressure.
Well, I mean, that have read, and if you think about it, if you read a character, you envision it in your mind, and you have this sort of intimacy with them that only you and this fantastical version of this person has. It only exists between the two of you. So the notion of being all things for all people is going to be impossible. Like, I knew that from the get-go.
Right.
And from doing a little bit of research about 50 Shades, you know, the backlash on 50 Shades initially, like with Jamie Dornan, it's just...
I was so upset when they picked him. I didn't even watch the movie because I was like, he is not hot enough.
Really?
I was like, he's not hot. I can't fantasize about that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a real little pothole. I have
such high standards that I'm like, the guy has to be so hot.
Right.
But we all have our different fantasies.
Not that he's not. I think he was fine.
Yeah, but everybody's got a different idea.
I'm sure
of
if
what
he was in real...
Is.
Well, that's the thing is, like, there was someone who I saw recently who I've watched on TV, and I saw him in person. I was like, oh my god, you're so much hotter. You are hot in person. On TV, it does you a disservice. So, like, right. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
But I think that's kind of the point, is that when I had heard Jamie Dornan was playing the character, I thought he looks exactly like
what you envisioned.
What the character was described as. And so the same description can be totally different in every person's mind.
Yeah.
You never are going to make everyone happy, but we'll make some people happy.
Yeah, I think that I want to bring my mom twice here. I think it was actually her. I wouldn't look at social media or anything around the casting.
God, your poor mom.
No, but she did. And I remember she relayed one thing where she said, I think a fan wants Jackson Rutledge to be Antonio Banderas. And I said, I definitely can't be Antonio
Banderas. And that's not who it's supposed to be. I mean,
but that was this particular person's fantasy, so I understand. And I hopefully I got as close to Antonio as for you. This movie's for you, by the way, Antonio Banderas fan.
Now, Caitlin, did you actually read the entire book before? Or did you just go on the script? I mean, I would imagine you'd read the book, right?
No, I didn't really prepare. No, I definitely...
Oh, really?
I read the books. I read the books after I had booked the role, though. Because when you get an audition,
right,
you
after
don't usually
that,
have
right.
enough time to read it ahead of time. So
that's what I
read
meant,
the script,
right.
And then once I booked it, I
but
read
But you
the
like
books.
The script, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, you get to star in the film. And, and passion flicks, they have... I think a great idea in what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's going to be big. Mm-hmm. And they were here and we were talking about this. And by now, I hope that the listeners have been able to go to passionflix.com. And I guess they can just search for the name of the film, right? Afterburn, mm-hmm. Aftershock.
Yes.
Yeah, you can just search for it and you'll find it. And we've got both stars, Caitlin Leahy and Tyler Johnson. I wanted to ask you about, so now you had a family. Did the character's family play a role in the story? You know what I'm saying?
My character's family.
Yes.
Yes, most certainly.
Yeah.
Everything that Jackson did and does, I like to think of him in the present tense still.
Right.
And he hasn't died yet.
Right.
Is motivated through the conditioning that was laid down by his family. I mean, I really think that Jackson is a nature versus nurture example. I don't know if you can tell, I always wanted to be an experiential psychologist, but
that's cool. Well, you're very well spoken and you listen, so that that's important, I think, as far as a psychologist and stuff. But you also get to work with different characters and stuff. You learn about people, right? You learn about people who behave and things like that. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's very awesome. Now, so what's next for you guys? I mean, you have a career, obviously. Caitlin, what are you looking at next for you?
Yeah, well, I filmed another movie called Samson, and I filmed that right before we filmed Afterburn, and then I went back. We actually filmed in South Africa, which was pretty awesome.
Wow, where in South Africa? You know, I lived there for a year, so I love that place.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. Yeah, we filmed in Stellenbosch and Cape Town, different parts of South Africa.
Oh, that figures the best. South Africans like to say that Cape Town is the most beautiful place in the world. And you know what? When you go there, it is way up there, right?
It's spectacular.
Right?
Yeah, and then I went to Kruger National Park after filming, and that was even more spectacular.
Yeah.
On safari and seeing the animals.
Wow, so you get to go there, too, to film the film.
Yeah, and then I was lucky enough to go back again after I wrapped on Afterburn to do pickups for a few weeks. And then that comes out in February of 2018. That'll be in theaters everywhere.
Wow.
So
I'm very excited for
that. And that's biblical, right?
It's biblical action.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Biblical.
Yeah.
So Samson. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it has a really
Samson.
Big following.
Wow.
That's cool.
You get to be Delilah?
Yes.
Oh,
ah.
Wow.
I was like, she had.
See, I would cast her as Delilah.
Yeah,
I
mean, for sure. She's perfect.
Genius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
I was going to say pretty. Beautiful.
She went to heaven, and I'm going to hell because I'm doing a horror movie next.
Well, maybe the next time around you'll come back as a beautiful woman, you'll get the same roles.
Well, I mean, Kaylin has clearly earned it. So.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
A beautiful woman.
You guys are awesome, man. The film is Afterburn, Aftershock. And unlike some of the films that we have here, you know, they're like short films or even full feature, but they're in the festival circuit and stuff. So people can't see them really. But here you can actually go to the website, get it right away, even now. And you know what? I admit that I'm going to watch it now because now I know you guys and I've interviewed you, so I want to see the film. And then you guys can come back and, you know, we'll tell you what we thought, you know?
Well, Passion Flicks is interesting, though, and nice because it's not just original content. It's not only Passion Flicks' films. They have all sorts of famous movies, romance movies. So you subscribe
that's
to
true.
It just like Netflix.
Netflix
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so you never run out of content, that's for sure, man. Yeah. But definitely your strong point is having films made by Tosca Musk, of course, who was the founder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And you guys joined the party, and I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
You know, so Rachel.
Also, a shout out to Joni and Gina as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Shout out to everybody. Who else do you want to? We do have a couple of minutes if you want to give a couple more shout outs.
Sylvia,
in the film.
Of course.
Yeah,
all the
Sylvia Day.
Ladies.
Sylvia Day.
Thank you so much for lending such powerful source material. It meant the world, and
that's awesome.
And
yeah.
The fans. It was really awesome working on a project that had a lot of excitement and support.
Yeah.
It was.
And where can people find you online?
Instagram, maybe Instagram.
Okay.
Just my name, Caitlin Leahy.
Okay.
My mother wanted me to be a U.S. president. It's not going to work out that way.
So you don't have social media?
No, I do. So I'm going to. So here's how it works. So both my brother and myself were always called by our middle names, but have first names as well. So I'm at W. Tyler Johnson.
Okay.
Because I'm William Tyler Johnson by birth, but she always called me Tyler. So it was W. Tyler Johnson.
Okay.
And then with my brother, same thing. Robert Parker, he became R. Parker Johnson. So
okay, now we got the story.
We wanted to be all distinguished.
Sounds like a clothing line.
Wanted to be all distinguished. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
Instead, I became an actor. I went a different direction. I guess unless you're Ronald Reagan, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. And what about the rest of the cast? Do you want to say hi to everybody, acknowledge anybody? I see there's like Gordon Thompson here and what's that, Sheena Nielsen?
Sheena. We had a great cast.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with the cast. Really good attitudes from everybody. We had a lot of fun. I think we still talk to a lot of people. I talked to Sheena. Who do you talk to? I talked to James last week. I ran into James,
who
plays one of my brothers.
I need to go to James' show. He has a show.
Oh, he does?
Around, yeah.
Very cool.
Show.
He does stand up?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so.
I think he does stand up.
What's his last name?
Bristow. James Bristow. He's going to love that we're talking about him. Hey,
he
James.
He really is. Hi, James.
but we had a really great
What time is it? You're
cast.
Probably just waking up right now.
Maybe.
Well, Caitlin and Tyler, thank you so much for joining us, guys. You're amazing.
Thank
we
you.
We wish you a lot of success, and I definitely have to watch the film now. I mean, like I said, I don't watch a lot of films of guests, but I will this one, okay? Get
you
me into the
you
genre.
Promise you
I don't
just
care.
It.
I'm a reader. I love books. I'll read anything and watch anything. So, not really, you know. I mean, I barely watch
You're
TV.
You're pretty particular.
Yeah, I never watch TV, but I'm going to watch this, and then, Rachel, we can talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Rachel, have a wonderful day. Stay away from the dabbers.
I have to do it again
okay.
today. I have more videos I'm shooting right after we podcast.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't have any shows tonight, so I'm glad. I'm just live my life.
It's a reading
Living
process.
My best life.
All right, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.